And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Juneau School District's high school graduation rate went up after the first year of consolidating schools. Superintendent Frank Hauser said at a Juneau Chamber of Commerce lunch today that more than 96% of Juneau Douglas High School Yeraskale students graduated in 4 years last school year. The increase followed the school district the first school year after the district consolidated its two high schools. The year before the consolidation, the rate was close to 93% at Juneau Douglas and about 90% at the former Thunder Mountain High School. Graduation rates also increased for Homebridge, the district's homeschool program, in Yokuski-Dockahedy High School. Hauser did not provide the district's overall graduation rate at Wednesday's presentation. According to the district's annual reports on indicators of success, that number has stayed at or above 80% since 2016. And half a dozen helicopters and other aircraft have worked since the weekend to move people and supplies where they're needed in the storm-battered Kuskokwim Delta. KYUK's Samantha Watson spoke to Coast Guard first responders about the ongoing effort to evacuate the hardest-hit communities.
Early Sunday morning, Lieutenant Blake David Brostorm and his Coast Guard helicopter crew flew from Kodiak to the Kuskokwim Delta coast to survey storm damage. Some communities, like Quinnahock, have been able to evacuate residents locally and make sure everyone had been accounted for. From the air, he could tell that Quinnagillinook had been hit hard.
And we immediately see a drastic difference between the other villages. It was very flooded. We saw a lot of damage. We saw homes that were as much as 3 miles away from where they should have been, ripped off of their foundations.
Communicating by radio, the crew worked with local searchers on the ground. They sent a crew member down in a harness to search for people in floating homes and offer medical aid. Brostorm says that many Quinnagillinook residents had been shuttled by boat or ATV from their homes to tiny areas of ground. The helicopter crew ferried groups from the little islands to the evacuation center at the school.
I remember looking back and I saw one kid. He waved to me and I was like, "Hey, buddy." And he just had like this, he just seemed very, like his face was both like happy, but at the same time, there was like this huge sigh of relief that we were able to get people into a safe location.
Between the villages of Kipnook and Quinnagillinook, the State Emergency Operations Center says 51 people and two dogs were rescued by the Coast Guard, Alaska State Troopers, Alaska Army National Guard, and Alaska Am Guard. Brostorm says the way some houses had drifted, displaced so far from their foundations, was to a degree he'd never seen before.
As we all know, our homes are like our sanctuary, right? You know, whether it's like your family photos, the house you grew up in, your family, all the love that you have inside that home, gone. Overnight. It is very tragic, and it is going to be a long and emotional process for this to have some sorts of normalcy afterwards.
Tobias Crawley was on another Coast Guard helicopter crew out of Kodiak that flew on rescue and recovery missions.
There wasn't much to see for flying for a while. There's not a lot out there. And then slowly we'd come upon this village, and we don't know what it was supposed to look like, but we just see it started with just a few houses, and then we flew over those. And quickly realized those aren't where they're supposed to be.
On Monday, after people were moved to shelters in their communities, crews shifted to evacuating people in need of medical attention to Bethel. The Coast Guard helicopters also dropped hundreds of pounds of supplies, including food and water, medicine, batteries, and dog food, along with medical personnel to Kipnook and Quinnagillinook, before heading back with evacuees. The Coast Guard helicopters could fit about 6 community members at a time. Evacuation efforts from Kipnook and Quinnagillinook into Bethel continue. The State Emergency Operations Center say they expect Bethel's shelter to reach capacity in the coming days. Then they'll have to consider evacuating community members from the damaged villages to Anchorage or Fairbanks. In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson.
And Sea Alaska Heritage Institute opened its new science education building on Monday. The space and the educators inside are working to combine traditional knowledge with new technology to expand access to science for young people in Juneau. At a ceremony on Monday, Tlingit language professor Hune Lance Twitchell said that bringing traditional ways of being into the present isn't a contradiction.
It's not a living in two world situation. It's living as an indigenous person with multiple languages and multiple identities and being just fine with it. You don't have to be just one thing.
Volunteers in Juneau are offering free lunches for federal employees who were furloughed when the government shut down on October 1st. So far, more volunteers than furloughed workers have attended. This afternoon, a half a dozen volunteers laid out sandwich fixings, bags of chips, muffins, and homemade pumpkin bread at the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers building downtown. Chad Millen prepared a turkey and cheese sandwich and sat down at a fold-out table with his two young daughters. He was furloughed from NOAA Fisheries, where he works on a system that tracks commercial fishing catches as an IT specialist. Millen says he saw the shutdown coming.
It's like the game of chicken, and you've got the two cars driving towards each other. They're both acting crazy, expecting the other side to yield, and we're passengers in the car, and so that's what it feels like. Is, you know, it's not really about you, but you're in the middle of it.
He says his division at NOAA recently joined the National Federation of Federal Employees, or NFFE, and coming to lunch is a good opportunity to learn more about the labor union. Millen was just one of two furloughed workers who attended lunch Thursday. Eric Antrim is the recording secretary for the local chapter of NFFE and one of the volunteers. He was furloughed from the U.S. Forest Service, where he manages bridge inspections across the Tongass National Forest. He says his latest paycheck came on October 10th.
We've got a lot of members that are paycheck to paycheck. And so, you know, this next paycheck that we're going to miss, I think that's when, you know, maybe a bologna sandwich starts to sound a little bit better than it did last Monday.
Antrim says they hosted one other lunch so far this year, last Monday, but only a few furloughed workers came. NFFE Local 251 represents nearly 500 U.S. Forest Service employees across Alaska. Antrim says that 330 members are furloughed, according to data he obtained from Human Resources. He says the volunteers plan to keep providing lunch and a space to gather for federal workers on Mondays and Thursdays until the shutdown ends. And Sea Alaska Heritage Institute opened its new science education building on Monday. The space and the educators inside are working to combine traditional knowledge with new technology to expand access to science for young people in Juneau. At a ceremony on Monday, Tlingit language professor Hune Lance Twitchell said that bringing traditional ways of being into the present isn't a contradiction.
It's not a living in two world situation. It's living as an indigenous person with multiple languages and multiple identities and being just fine with it. You don't have to be just one thing.
And the new SHI Indigenous Science Building around the corner carries that sentiment in all the services it offers. The building on Heritage Way hosts a digital media lab with a podcast booth and video production software, an Indigenous science research lab that studies cultural resources like seaweed and clams, and a maker space with a digital wood carving machine. That last one made name tags instructors are wearing as they lead tours of the new building. In the traditional foods and medicine kitchen, instructor Seichtin Jamian Hasselquist says she and others are bringing old ways to process and preserve food into the present.
Whatever people can dream up that they would like to do in this kitchen, I think that we could try to make their dreams happen.
With freeze dryers, pressure cookers, dehydrators, and space to build traditional drying racks, Hasselquist says they're making and preserving traditional foods that elders would make when she was a kid, like cheese kahak, a rich and smoky paste made of fermented salmon eggs. She scoops some out of a glass jar and spreads it on a cracker for anyone who wants to try it.
Someone tasted that cheese kahak, and they took one bite, and they said, oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional. I haven't tasted this for 30 years. It's been 3 decades, and they thought that they would never try it again.
Elders have been approaching Hasselquist with foods they remember from childhood but don't know how to make.
If we could have workshops and share that knowledge, and we're rebirthing, you know, this indigenous way of living and being.
Next, she wants to find out how to make cold-pressed seal grease. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. And escalating tensions between the U.S. and Canada fueled fears last winter that Canadians would respond by canceling cross-border visits to Alaska this summer, potentially hitting local economies. As Avery Elfalt reports for the Alaska Desk, the numbers were down, but a full-scale boycott never seemed to materialize.
It's the tail end of coho season, and people are filing in and out of the Alaska Sports Shop in Haines. They're buying lures, licenses, and line like normal. But employee Gabe Long says something did feel amiss this summer: the number of Canadians filtering through the shop.
We had, like I said, about 8 Saturdays where we had significantly less people than I've had in last year.
Long says the shop saw plenty of Canadians who've been coming to Haines for years. But typically, they also see a lot of younger customers visiting for the first time.
Yeah, we definitely saw a reduction there, but luckily, we still had a lot of friends that came down. But
Federal data published late last month shows about 3,700 fewer people entered the U.S. at the port of entry near Haines between May and August of this year compared to last. That's about a 16% decrease. Nationwide, border crossings from Canada into the U.S. during the same time period dropped by about 24% amid frustration over President Donald Trump's trade war and his claims that the U.S. should annex Canada. Reba Hilton is the Haynesborough Tourism Director. She says she also observed the dip, including at the local visitor center.
I think we were definitely negatively impacted, and we saw a lot less, not only Canadian travelers, but international travelers in general.
The economic impact is less clear. Long at the sports shop, for instance, says it's hard to say if the situation hurt sales. But there were other factors at play, including that two of the shop's main competitors were closed this summer. Haynes Brewing Company owner Paul Wheeler, meanwhile, says he noticed a drop in business. 1 month over the summer, he says sales were down about 20%. He thinks it probably had something to do with fewer Canadians in town. Other business owners, though, say they really didn't notice anything at all. Rhonda Hinson is the owner of local store Alaska Rods.
The Canadian traffic this summer, I'd say, was pretty steady. I had folks in pretty much every weekend and a lot of times throughout the week.
The situation in Skagway looked a little different. Skagway is more than 2 hours closer than Haines to the nearest Canadian city of Whitehorse and typically sees far more traffic from across the border. Between May and August of this year, Skagway's port of entry saw more than three times the number of border crossings than the port of entry near Haines. All told, Skagway saw a much smaller 4% drop in crossings this year during the four-month period. Jamie Bricker is the Skagway Tourism Director. In the run-up to the summer, she says she was worried the community would see fewer visitors from the Yukon Territory. And in some cases, it did seem like people chose not to come. But overall, she adds, her worries didn't come to fruition.
I mean, the South Klondike Highway feels like family. It doesn't feel like one country versus another.
Bricker says the majority of folks seem to have made a special exception to visit their Alaskan neighbors anyway. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 48 degrees and raining, and we're expected to get some more heavy rain tonight. Tomorrow, that turns to showers, but it looks like about 100% chance of rain tomorrow, and Saturday goes down to 90. Sunday could be a bit drier, with just a 30% chance. Temperatures are in the mid to high 40s. You're listening to KTOO.